Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
Like in the black community, most of us grew up fatherless, you know what I'm saying? Not all of us, but a lot of us in the hood did, you know what I'm saying? And hip hop is no different. The fathers of hip hop, they somehow got detached from the sons, you know what I'm saying? The sons, the new guys of hip hop, somehow don't respect the old school for some reason. You know what I'm saying? Like every other genre of music respects their old school and their traditional and people who did things before them that made it, you know what I'm saying? They talk rock and roll, any other kind, but hip hop for some reason, they do, but they don't.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green, and we are back.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest family, those in the text chain, and those of you who are out of the text chain. I'm going to do the commercial first. If you're out of the text chain and you really want to know the real deal, it is winter, and you know winter brings winter baseball meetings. That's the text chain. So you really want to know what's going on, you got to be in the Hip Hop Digest text chain, which is if you go to the GroupMe app, you get in to do your thing, Hip Hop Digest Show. Your boy E Color's going to meet you at the dough.
Oh, yeah.
And right there.
He's going to meet you at the dough, and then you got to pay the fee. Kurt G, please tell him the fee.
Oh, the fee is very small to pay. Just $7,515.13. Make that payable to the Hip Hop Digest Show, and you shall be in no problem, my nigga. No, it's free $3.99. But what you need to do is tell us the first piece of music you bought with your own money, not your parents' money, not some shit you thiefed, your own money. And you have to do what, Mr. Egree? I'm putting you on the spot today.
Oh, ain't nothing. You gotta tell who your personal top three MCs, rappers, or whatever.
Yes.
Your personal top three.
Like I always say, I don't care if they live next door to you.
Yeah, it could be yourself. Don't matter. Just gotta tell us your top three.
Dial line.
On the text chain, that is.
Right.
Not to me.
Yeah.
Not to
King Killer,
not
Kurt.
Not
yeah.
yet.
The text chain.
On the text chain, you have to say this because nobody's gonna speak to you or respond to you. At least they shouldn't. Respond to you until you give us that information.
Right. So once you
they
do
will,
that,
I remind you.
Yes. Exactly. But once you do that, you're in the family. You'll be attending the winter meetings. You get all the inside scoop of what's going on with the Digest family members, and what you probably will hear on the show in subsequent weeks. So that's how we get down.
Right. If you want to hear a topic from us, most of the topics come right out of the text chain.
No doubt. So. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest, probably only a single topic show, but it has a lot of tentacles.
Okay.
And so we'll get right into it.
I wonder what that could be.
Yeah, I know, right?
What could have happened?
Yeah, you fall down and hit your head on it.
I mean, any surprise music drop or something?
So, anyway, first topic on the Hip Hop Digest show is obviously your man. He has many, many nicknames. He goes by the name, used to go by Mr. Canada. He used to go by the Canadian. He used to go by the Blackface. Still, that's my favorite, BFD, Blackface.
He was Hockey Drake. Puck at one point.
Yeah, he was Hockey Puck for a minute.
You called him Hockey Puck a couple
okay,
times.
Okay, no doubt. It was Hockey Puck for a minute. Then he came across as being called the Walking Economy, you know. So he's had a lot of nicknames.
BFD seems to stick, though.
Yeah, of course. No doubt. Blackface Drake. So, anyway, so here we are in our year of 2024 at the end, fourth quarter style, and he's suing Universal Music Group, Spotify, and others because he's saying that the whole battle with Kendrick Lamar and the whole situation surrounding that was a manufactured situation.
So they manufactured the words that came out of his mouth that started this shit?
Well, see,
he didn't start it, but he responded when he shouldn't have.
See, well, this takes a lot of tentacles. That's why it could be a one topic, but a lot of different tentacles. Okay, and so first of all, let's take one tentacle because that's everybody knows that's the deal. So we're gonna take the tentacle. This particular tentacle is that this generation, and it which includes Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick too. Nicki, I don't give a fuck who it is. Anybody who's chart surfing in the last 15 years strongly,
Ooh, that's a long period.
Damn right.
So all them niggas can get it.
Well, it's not about getting it, but it's about the reality of a generation where they raised on the undue influence of a Universal Music Group, Spotify, Apple Music, for prepaid publicity, being told this guy or this gal is the one you love.
Preach.
Wow.
Oh, I see okay. Where you're going with
so,
this.
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying, and it's something that this particular generation is going to have to grapple with. Of course, nothing's going to take away from your 14-year-old self loving Lil Wayne, you know, saying wobbly, wobbly. Nobody's going to take that away from you. You know what I mean? I mean, all of us has got that. But I'm talking about the actual reality of the people. And I don't care who it is. In the last 15
years.
I think
I might have been a 30-year-old something when I liked that wobbly wobbly.
Okay.
You just darted me, son. I felt it. You, I was like, oh, damn, I did like that record. Oh, shit, that hurt.
Okay, so maybe wobbly was a little bit before that. But I'm talking about in the modern digital generation. Because, see, for us, it never made sense. See, for us of a certain generation, and we were dinosaurs and admitted it, but for us, 1 + 1 never equaled 3.
Oh, never.
It never did.
It never did.
So the older generation struggled with, damn, you know, what makes him or her, and I'm talking about everybody in this generation, the man or the guy or the gal. Because it damn sure can't be the music from an organic level.
Oh, that's done.
No, it's not at all.
It's done. Organic is done. Everything's digital, my nigga. We tell you what you should like.
So let's discuss that. You know, we're going to get to the other tentacles, no doubt. But let's discuss that tentacle when you either, what do you do? Do you ride with the guy? Or do you got to ride with the corporation and the structure that's set up to tell you what the guy is? And trust me when I tell you this, you know, everybody was getting on Drake talking about snitching and now he's mad because it used to work for him and now it doesn't. Trust me when I tell you, before my other brothers get in, you know, because it is a narrative that's set up by entities, and those are corporations, those are streaming services. Universal Music Groups, the YouTubes, the Spotifys, the titles, don't matter. Because it is a narration from those people.
Mm.
Who's to say that, oh, we gotta think of a new narrative? Let's destroy Drake and then let's exhume the body and bring him back alive. I mean, that could be a narrative that is on somebody's whiteboard in an office somewhere. And that because the generation doesn't know how to respond organically, they may go for it.
They're waiting for somebody to tell them how to respond.
Right. They wait. There you go, my man. So they're waiting for it. So, you know, let's talk about the tentacles of, you know, what never made sense to us, but certainly has made sense to certainly generations of people, at least the last 15 years strongly. What do you think, Swerve?
First, I'd like to say that I don't think it's targeted just towards hip-hop or rap music. I think
it's everywhere.
Overall.
Oh, I agree.
All genres of music.
They killing the country niggas right now with the shit.
Right. And also, I'd like to say that this is not new. This is not new at all. We just got transitioned from hearing something 60 times a day on the radio, which at one time people used to listen to the radio, believe it or not. We transitioned from that to the digital world, as Kirk calls it, where they just constantly bombard your internet, your browsers just blasted with said artist. And over time, I don't want to sound bad, but
say that shit, nigga.
People who don't typically think for themselves, then somebody else is going to think for you. And that's what happens. So, yeah, sheep. So you keep getting this stuff bombarded into your brain. You hear it. You know the highlight bling lyrics. So you might not know the whole song.
Hotline Bling, right?
But you know the melody, you know all that stuff because you've been bombarded with it. But at the same time, because we are dinosaurs, we know our ears and our brain knows, well, even my fucking favorite song, I don't want to hear 60 times a day.
Right.
But we don't, we're in a fast food microwave still.
So,
civilization.
So I got a personal story.
Okay.
Several years ago, I mean, because, you know, like I said, I'm in Vegas a lot or whatever. But several years ago, I found that I liked a smooth jazz station in Vegas. It's awesome. And so when I got back to the East Coast, the smooth jazz station at that time was being streamed live on iHeartRadio. So I downloaded the iHeartRadio app because I want to listen to the smooth jazz station and whatnot. And of course, on the front page, you know, you open up the smooth jazz, it's your boy Blackface on the Scorpion album. I'm like, damn, I don't want this shit.
What this got to do with smooth
jazz? Yeah, what this got to do with smooth jazz or whatever? So I go past that or whatever, and I get the smooth jazz station. I put it in my favorites. That's all I'm listening to on iHeartRadio anyway, so that's cool. So I go the next day, I open up the smooth, iHeartRadio joint. Boom, there's Drake again. Right there, boom. Before I see anything else, it's Drake. I'm thinking, damn. Okay, you're going to put Kenny G up there, okay? Then I get it, because you see the favorite is smooth jazz.
Right.
Right, nah, Scorpion. You know, every time. You know, and I'm like looking, I went as far as the forums to figure out how can you get this nigga off the front page.
it's baked into the algorithm, nigga. You can't get rid of this.
No, I can't. So,
yep.
I ended up deleting iHeartRadio Joan. I think it ended up being on another app. I'm just as happy. I still get to listen to the Vegas smooth jazz station when I want to hear it. So that's just a personal story of what happened to me at the intersection of Blackface and the algorithm game.
And see what happens when you think for yourself?
Exactly. When you think for yourself, you try to get a way around that shit.
So, all right, let's take the next tentacle. I'm sorry. Yes, Kurt G, my man.
So, you pretty much stole my thunder, and I'm glad you did, because that's exactly what I was thinking while this whole shit was going on. The pinnacle of what happens when you've been told your whole entire existence what to listen to, who to listen to, who the hottest is, who the best is, who the worst is. And this is what happens when one group, Universal Music Group, one label, is McDonald's, Burger King, and Chick-fil-A all in one. They own all the fucking artists. They got Drake and they got Kendrick. And they don't give a fuck who wins the battle, because they're gonna eat no matter who wins. So guess what? Whoever's starting to win, we're gonna flood that nigga now. Oh, Kendrick's the winner. People say he's the winner. Let's flood y'all niggas with Kendrick now. Kendrick is the absolute shit. I don't care what nobody says. Kendrick could put out some fucked up record that nobody should be listening to that's fucking whack as shit. And they're going to say it's hot. And guess what? Half the people are going to say it's hot because they were told it's hot, no matter what. So this is where they're at. And then you got a Drake who's mad because he know the system from the inside out. He know these niggas is cheating.
Yeah.
Because they cheated for him for so many years. So he know this shit's happening. So yeah, you can sue them. But guess what they're going to do? They're going to get real petty, Drake. They're going to get real petty. And they're going to pump this nigga even harder just because what you're trying to sue them. Because these niggas are like the NFL. You ain't never going to see these niggas' books, no matter how much you sue them. They ain't going to show you the books. They ain't going to show you that they cheating. They're not going to show you that. So you just wasting your time, B.
So, like I said, you have a generation that has to grapple with the fact that, damn, everything that we thought was real wasn't. It was a manufactured story, you know. Again, it's probably not going to take away from, you know, any Hotline Bling when I was 14 stories, but it's still, they're going to have to grapple with it. Damn, all that shit was not even real, you
right.
know. You know. The second, well, there's a lot of tentacles. I'm going to say the next tentacle. is that an actual lyrical battle actually did take place.
It did.
An actual lyrical battle did take place. And it makes you, you know, if you're looking at battles and you look at the history of battles, dinosaurs like us go all the way back to the beginning, whether, you know, Busy B and Kumo D.
Busy B.
You know what I'm saying? All the way up, 50 Cent, Ja Rule, you know, Jay Nas, whatever. It doesn't matter. D-Block, you know, State Prop. You know, a lot of battles, a lot of different things, you know what I'm saying? Queensbridge Wars, the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? But an actual battle did take place. And I still want to, because I believe that somebody in Kendrick Lamar's circle actually schooled him on really going after cats. Maybe they said, not that Kendrick was sitting down and listening to D-Block State Property. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But to really, when you coming at a cat, especially when you come at a cat who is not authentic to begin with, okay, an actual battle really did take place. And Kendrick actually won that battle. And you can say what you say, you know, that Not Like Us is cemented just like ether to, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm thinking
it's not like, ether. Right. But I'm just saying it's cemented in the same way.
This generation's ether.
Right.
This is their ether.
Right. This generation's ether. So we'll say ether. We know what it means. But then even dinosaurs, if somebody said, well, not like us, we're going to know what that means. You know what I mean?
And that's part of the thing for me, Killer, was that, you know, yes, he's not suing Kendrick. He's suing over the malpractice, so to speak. But even without that, the streets determined that Not Like Us was a knockout. It was a haymaker. It was over after that. There was nothing Drake could respond to after that.
Nothing.
And a person who is in the culture, such as Jay-Z, would understand that.
And he did. Right.
Well,
he tried to come back with he came back with Super Ugly, but he found out that was just swinging in the dark. That nobody really gave him any love for that record, so he just gave up. Like, you know what? I lost. Fuck it. I lost.
But I got a question though. I got a question, because the longest we've been covering blackface, and the people who know us best, at least know most of us from day one, was like, yo, this nigga is the guy? You know what I mean? Most of us, not all of us, but most of us was like, this nigga is the guy?
The proverbial, this is your king?
Yeah, this is your king? This is the guy? But hold up. But the only point I want to ask is, you guys talked about a lot of names and through the history of hip-hop and battles. I'm going back to like Meek Mill. I'm going back, and I'm bringing up Hov, and I'm bringing up guys who were in the position to know that he ain't really got it, and he's not like that, and to stand by,
and to collect
investment money, and to, you know, and do what he got to do. These people knew it, and why it took, I'm not saying why it took so long for it happened to be Kendrick to come up and just slay this kid, I think relatively easy.
That was brewing for a while though, B.
It was brewing for a while, but what happened?
Yeah, but that's what do you used to call that shit? The subliminals.
Right.
There was
a lot of subs going back and forth on different shit. But the thing is, see, this nigga for the longest time was being told to stay on the porch. We complained about it on this show.
Yes,
and he stayed on the porch.
Yeah.
So he probably would have got knocked out a long time ago had jumped off that porch.
Yeah, very good. No
so
doubt.
So this one time, because Kendrick was on his level, or close to his level anyway, in his mind, he was somebody I need to respond to. Even though the nigga said, ain't no big three, it's just me, he should have let that shit just slide the fuck on by him. Without even, you know what I'm saying, like he did anybody else. He'd be like, you know what, fucking Fat Joe would have, I mean Fat Joe. If Joe Button would have said that shit, he would have ignored it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
he ignored three Joe Budden albums.
Right. And he would have ignored it, but he didn't ignore it because it was Kendrick. He didn't ignore it. And because niggas was buzzing about the fact that he said that shit, he said, fuck it, I got to respond. Which is probably, if he could go back in time, he would shut the fuck up and say nothing. But he went ahead and responded, and that's what happened. He put himself out there, and he learned the hard way why these niggas told him to stay on the porch.
Yeah, very good. Mm. Very good. All right, let's get to the next tentacle. And this
Wait, I'm sorry, my man. He was told to stay on the porch after the story of Adidon, right? Or not that story. Was it not story of Adidon? It was with the one with Pusha T. Introduced his son.
Yeah, that was the one.
When he was that was the story of Adidon.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he was told to stay on the porch. Don't even get involved with that shit because we seen your boy down in Houston.
Yeah.
Chirping, talking about Drake, keep looking at the money.
And before we go to the next tentacle, he another one. Your boy down Houston who knew.
He was just getting paid, B. It was all about the bag.
No, that's what I'm saying, right. I mean, you know, it's like, they don't fuck up my investment.
Exactly.
Because you really can't handle this rhyme scheme shit. You're really not Under Armour. Right. You really can't handle that.
You're right. You're not built for this shit. And I can see it and I know it.
Right. So stay on the porch. Right. So the next tentacle was actually brought to you by Swerve. Swerve did a yeoman's job.
He did a yeoman's job.
He did.
Look on his face. He don't even know what you're talking about.
Swerve did a yeoman's job because Swerve early on was posting evidence, pure evidence of one Aubrey buying streams, the Universal, not just Universal Music Group, all of them being in cahoots, you know. Old postings from Nicki Minaj for whatever reason. Old postings, Meek Mills. I tried to tell y'all niggas that my shit was artificially shut down. You know what I mean? Regular internet niggas with posting evidence.
Yeah.
Pure evidence.
But that's why this nigga is suing. Because he know the game. He know how it works. He's like, these niggas did it for me. Now they working against me. I don't like it.
Yeah, but I know we gotta talk about these tentacles, but since you said that shit, B, that suing, that type of suing is sewage. That's that fucking, and when I say sewage, I mean S-E-W-A-G-E.
Wow.
That's that type of shit where you always talk about snitching. Nigga, if you did that shit, why are you snitching? Why are you telling?
Because
why
are you suing? Because he's losing, B. He's a sore loser. He's very sensitive. He told you that, and he's very petty. And all this is working against him now. It used to work in his favor,
badly. But
now it's working against you because it's not working at all.
He's looking real bad out here.
All right, the next tentacle, this is what it actually looks like, though. And what I mean by that is that this is what it actually looks like if organic material is introduced into a sterile environment. Your boy Aubrey in his career has lived in a sterile, you know, back in the days, the 70s, the bubble boy. The boy lived in the bubble.
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah. Universal had him in a bubble.
Yeah, Universal had him in a bubble. And then so some organic material got kicked in or whatever, and his sterile environment was brung down. This is what it actually looks like, okay?
So not like us, it's like COVID?
Well, yeah,
I mean, took over,
right? Well, Kendrick actually do got a line where he said, "I act like COVID" on one of his songs in the new LP. I thought it was kind of funny. But that being said, but this is what it actually looks like, and because back to the generation who has never seen anything from a pure organic level, don't really know what to make of it. There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of dead enders. A lot of guys who are trying to figure out their next move on their career, guys like Academics, who's built his whole career, you know.
Riding Drake's meat.
Yeah, riding the pony. You know what I mean?
And, genuine.
And ain't nothing genuine about that.
Ain't nothing genuine about that.
Right,
shit.
Right. So he's pretty much spent his career. So now he's at a crossroads. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, you know, okay, I'm going to play the dead ender role. I'm going to ride Drake's my man. Certain guys who say, I'm going to never turn my back on Drake for whatever reason, taking his side. A lot of people, you know, with the Future and these guys, I made records with him, but I never got down with him. You know,
it was about the bag.
Yeah, it was about the bag. You know, but this is what it looks like. You actually have organic material. And I don't think that it's going to take a long time for this generation, in my opinion, to come to grips with that. See, it was very easy to come to grips with things if you're a different type of person. I think it's Pete Rock tells a great story. He's talking to DMX. Not DMX. He's talking to DMC. Right? Now, this must have been around Down with the King remix, I'm thinking. But I'm pretty sure it was Pete Rock. Somebody posted it on the text chain. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But DMC, you know, from Run DMC, all world Run DMC, right? DMC is like, yo, I remember the first time I heard Rakim. And when I heard Rakim, we was finished. It was over for us. There was no battle. There was no Rakim diss and Run DMC. There was none of that. There was no need or whatever. But here's DMC, who's like, you know, we're big time. We're Run DMC. I know my place. But what I just heard, nah, next up. We're done. Okay?
But that was honesty.
I'm saying. So here we are. We got a generation of adults, kids and adults, who can't do that or is having a trouble processing it. You know, because that's why I started out. You know, Kendrick part of this system. Organically, he destroyed your man. That's big time.
Right.
That's probably going to go a long way in helping him survive, but he's still part of that same system.
Oh, for sure.
They said he's part of that same group. Universal owns it all.
Yeah.
And you see Amazon jumped right on that. Oh, come do a show.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Universal in the background, my nigga.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. So that's kind of like the next tentacle that the generation is really having trouble. And watch guys like Academics. Watch guys, you know, who just a short while ago were part of the "this guy's the best ever, he'll never fall off" drum beat.
Whoa.
They were all part of that. A lot of the YouTubers now, you know what I mean? You know, they probably pulling videos down as fast as they can. Cause you get caught out there like Swerve is catching cats out there.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get caught out there because the internet has the most incredible memory. Nothing goes away.
Nothing goes, as long as somebody got it, somebody downloaded it, you can scrub the internet, but if one motherfucker downloaded it, they still got it.
Yep.
So, no doubt, this thing just certainly has an awful lot of tentacles or whatever. But let's get down to one tentacle that is the brass tacks. Let's get down to the record.
Oh, okay.
Can we do that?
We can do that.
Which record? Which record are we speaking on?
Kendrick Lamar new album.
GNX?
Oh, okay.
GNX.
Sure.
Now GNX. So first of all, I gotta say, one of my favorite cars of all time.
Is that joint he's sitting on? Is that joint he's leaning on?
That Buick Grand National GNX. But I'd settle for just a regular Buick Grand National. It doesn't even have to be the GNX, but I always...
Those joints got turbo in it, don't they?
Yes.
It's turbo, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, the thing about that, people just don't realize...
There's subliminal shots for you.
No doubt.
the GNX.
And the thing that people just don't realize that I remember, a shout out to Paris Lomax, west side of Chicago. I'm hanging with him in 87 or whatever, and he got this banging IROC Z.
Damn, the IROC Z.
So we got the banging IROC Z. So we go to the Chicago late night. This is back in the 80s. We go to the Chicago late night where cats is, you know, drag racing down the strip in the back way, in the back end of Chicago somewhere. I don't know where it was, but he takes me up there. We pull up. You know, Perry's nice on the light. You know what I'm saying? He's getting a lot of respect. Yo, Perry, what's up? What's up? Cat's out there. Cat pulls up in this silver vet.
Ooh.
Talking a lot of money. You take money on the hood of the vet. What's good? What's good? But you know what pulls around the corner right after that?
GNX.
That motherfucker. I don't even think it was GNX, but it was, you know, that Buick Grand National.
Grand National.
And Cass was looking at that cat with the vet.
Like, oh, you lost.
And he put, well, you know, there was a lot of squabble back and forth, but he actually put his money back in his pocket because at that time, that was the fastest production car off the line in 1987. So shout to Kendrick. That just totally brings back a lot of memories for the old dinosaur, you know. Shout to Kendrick. And like I said, shout to Paris Lomax or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I never forget the time we hit that little patch of water coming up over under the bridge, and we hit that porch.
Man,
we tore the hell out of that porch and got the hell out of there.
Damn.
It's past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Watch what you say.
It's a nigga be like, that was my motherfucking porch, nigga. I knew it.
So no doubt. So anyway, yes, let's get down to the album. Let's get down to the brass tacks. So, what can I say about the record? Yo, sonically, it's not my wheelhouse sonically.
You're struggling.
No, hold up. It's not my wheelhouse. It's not, because I'm not separating the wheat from the chaff. Maybe I am. But lyrically, I actually enjoyed, I thought what a lot of Kendrick was saying was a lot of funny and witty and on a lyrical level or whatever. I felt like the guys who listened for the lyrics only and get around to the beats later. But I'm a beat guy first. So, you know, it takes me, that's why I Pimp a Butterfly, because the beats and the production is so crazy. I brung that in first, you know, but in this particular record, you know, what can I say? It is one hell of a Los Angeles inspired record. That's for sure.
That's
what I'd like to say.
Yeah, it sounded like he made that shit right after the pop out.
Yeah. I mean,
and there's nothing wrong. I even said on the text chain that it was more a regional record. Regional for his area. As you listen to the songs, you just, if you could just like detach yourself from whatever you're attached to for the moment and just listen to the album, you know it's a West Coast album, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We need that kind of stuff.
Oh yes, we do.
There were like three standouts for me, but the rest was stuff that I could listen to, but no, it's not gonna be on high replay.
All right,
but I feel like this was just a precursor to something else, honestly.
Mm. Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. Because to me, it felt like he's just building up the catalog because, see, Super Bowl's coming. So he needs some more records to perform. So whatever the hot joints off of this one is, he can add them to the Super Bowl performance.
Yeah.
Well,
you're going to hear Squabble Up, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. No, for sure. Squabble Up, bang, too. That joint bang.
I actually do like, and it's real talk, I actually like Squabble Up, no doubt.
That whacked out joint's kind of high, too.
But this is a thing, and I appreciate. I started out struggling because I didn't know how I wanted to describe the album. Not that I was dissing, but
I like the Tupac joint.
The region repping on that is needed because I thought that it was, you know, to me the blackface era was malaise, yo. It was general malaise.
But that's what it was.
It was just general malaise.
It was just pop music.
Right.
That's what it was.
So the fact that Kendrick digs into a region repping bag is great. Mm-hmm. Because it should, to me, send a signal to cats, oh, let me dig into the I don't have to do the general malaise from, you know, from the Maple Leaf.
Oh my God.
You ain't got to do the Target music?
None of that, B. None of that.
Shout out to Mos Def.
Somewhere right now, when Easy Bake hears this, he's going to be like, what? All this time, y'all niggas been talking about region rap, and this nigga puts out a region rap record, and you praising it?
I'm praising it, yes.
Well, I'm going against the norm.
Right, because I'm praising it because the Maple Leaf and what is exported from the northern border is general malaise.
It's just pop music, man. That nigga was putting out pop music, and any and everybody was trying to imitate and copy.
And so region repping was at some point region repping became general malaise, because it was might have been repping Atlanta, but when you had niggas from the Bronx doing it, it's general malaise.
Right, but when everybody started doing trap, right, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly. So you got Canada niggas doing quasi trap.
Oh, you got German Montana.
You got. Oh, wow. you got niggas from the Bronx doing quasi trap.
Niggas in Juarez, Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's doing trap, my nigga. Exactly. It doesn't matter where you come from. Trap is the sound.
So shout out to Easy Bake. You can get upset about me talking about region repping, but in the general malaise, yo, we need it, and I appreciate it.
For the nice dissuasion from that regular shit.
Right.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Which could help save hip-hop in a way. If niggas start trying to switch up and do something different, other than trying to, everybody now want to make West Coast-style beats. Like when West Coast hit the scene and niggas, everybody want to do the high-end keyboard on their shit, trying to throw some West Side shit on their albums when that first popped off. I was like, oh, come on.
But you know what, though? But I think if it's done tastefully, you can get away with it.
It'll be refreshing to hear because it's a different sound than trap.
It better not be a whole album.
Tired of it. You'll get tired of everybody doing West Coast style shit. Like, come on, be everybody. Now that's going to be general malaise.
Oh, there's no question that anything that is done as far as general malaise, because actually, I'm thinking about, like, there's like East Coast Records, and I can't name none off the top of my head that might have a West Coast remix on it, just because. But it depends on how it was done. It was like, damn, that's kind of a banging ass remix.
There's a few Biggie joints that had the West Coast feel to it.
Well, I'm not even talking about album cuts. I'm talking about B-side remix cuts.
Oh, okay.
Who figured, like, look, maybe I can get on a late night mix tape radio in L.A. or San Fernando Valley or somewhere, you know. Not that it's a represent of that, you know. I think if... Not that you're going to do it that way. This generation, because they don't know how to disseminate on their own, if the next 100 albums comes out and it sounded like GNX, you're going to have a problem.
Right, because they think that's the new sound.
Right.
And what they're going to do, have AI generate a beat that sounds like Kendrick.
Oh, my God.
And what's going to happen? God. Everybody's going to be making the same shit.
Right. All right, no doubt. Let's keep it moving. I don't know. I was debating on whether you want to talk about the politics of this whole situation beyond the labels and the lawsuit. I came across this thing where it says Joe Budden claims that Lil Wayne made a Kendrick diss record after Lil Wayne made a call and Kendrick refuses to take his call. It's kind of TMZ. I know it.
You better hide that record.
It's not safe right now, Wayne.
You better hide that shit.
It's not safe.
Well,
unless that shit is like complete 1,000% fire, my nigga, where you think the beat got to be there and your lyrics be. If you coming in on that forgotten lyrics flow, being ain't nobody hearing your shit.
So check it out. So what I want to talk about, the way I want to talk about this is that because there is no record until we hear the record. But what is it about modern day hip hop? And maybe this is just Wayne saying, I'm a legend. When I make a phone call, niggas better pick up.
Well, it's that and the fact that he thought that he should have had enough respect for him to at least pick up the phone and reply over the phone man to man.
What are you going to talk to Wayne about?
Whatever Wayne wanted to talk about. He just wanted him to hear him out. Mm. And he wasn't willing to hear him out. It's what he's like, man, what the fuck? You ain't want to hear what I got to say. So it get under his skin. And you know these niggas is sensitive. And they gonna take that shit personal. And next thing you know, he in there blabbing off in the booth, saying whatever he had to say. And maybe cooler heads prevailed. And they was like, man, don't put that shit out.
I tried to throw the water, man, about the Super Bowl. And he just get that up. Because I, you know.
Can we put a little asterisk in here real quick?
What's sure.
Since you just mentioned that, the Super Bowl, we are still talking about this Super Bowl situation and the lack of Lil Wayne. Like, Curtis, I don't know, maybe I need to talk to your son. I need to talk to somebody
right.
who could tell me why Wayne would be a good artist on any level on that type of platform.
He ain't good to talk to right now about that shit.
Wobbly, wobbly.
He off Wayne.
Wobbly, wobbly.
He off Wayne. He ain't on Wayne like that no more. He on some different
Damn.
Shit.
Me. Damn. You know what? I find that surprising.
He like old Wayne, mixtape Wayne back in the day. He still likes that shit, but he ain't on Wayne. That nigga done moved through different phases and shit. Last time I see, he was fucking with J.I.D. I'm like, okay.
Mixtape Wayne can't perform at the Super Bowl.
Mixtape and neither Wayne can regular album no Wayne. Where. Not no. with a live audience. Not doing that shit.
Like, I don't understand why. I mean, look, this has got to be ego. It's all ego.
That's why I said these niggas is sensitive. It's all ego. It's a 1,000% ego. Because he said in his mind, he even said he let his expectations up too high. He automatically just thought he was going to get it just because it was in New Orleans. So, of course, it's all ego now. And the nigga, he feel like a nigga ain't showing him enough respect to even answer a phone call? After you took my spot, nigga? You took my spot, nigga? You don't even want to talk to me, nigga? The fuck is this shit?
Why is he taking it out on Kendrick? You can understand what Kendrick's saying.
Right. You can understand
You can't understand what Wayne is saying.
Wayne is saying that he mad that nigga took my spot. Even though he didn't take it, they gave it to him. They gave him the spot.
Hold up.
He didn't take it, they gave him the spot.
So what you gotta do is just gotta dial it back just a little bit. You gotta dial it back, yo. Wayne is in the bubble.
He was in the bubble for
well,
a long time.
But in terms of his thoughts about what he deserves, because it's in New Orleans, he's in the bubble. He's in the bubble. I got another story. Old man story.
He's leaned his way out of the bubble, B.
Man, he leaned and rocked his way out of the bubble.
Yeah.
So Louis Armstrong comes back to New Orleans after about 20 years. He leaves New Orleans. He goes to Chicago. He plays with Sidney Bechet. He becomes famous. Then he goes to New York. He hooks up with like Duke Ellington or whatever. He continues to be famous. But he had some problems with some like New York gangsters. I think it was Dutch Schultz and them. He goes to Europe. He does his thing. But then he comes back to New Orleans. He's super famous, right? You know, super famous. He goes to the boys' home. He buys them new instruments and uniforms because that's how he came up. You know what I'm saying? The neighborhood that he comes from, you know, they turn out at the train station to meet him. Louis Armstrong, he's the man. He's the fucking man, right? So it goes back to New Orleans, right? So I don't think it was the Mardi Gras parade, but it could have been. But it was some type of parade in which they still had niggas white up or whatever the case. But the city fathers, because segregation was still in full force, the city fathers was like, nah, Louis. Nah, nigga. Oh, I know what it was. When he came back to the... Now, I got the story straight. When he came back, Louis had brought his own band with him. And he was going to march in this parade, whether if it was Mardi Gras or something else. And the city fathers told Louis, not with that integrated band, you do... Nope. Nope. And so Louis left New Orleans and was like, you know what? You ain't never got to worry about me coming back here ever. And he bounced. It may not be the same as the Lil Wayne New Orleans story, but I'm just saying you got someone who is uber famous in terms of Louis Armstrong. Always rep New Orleans. He was from New Orleans, came back, and they celebrated. The city celebrated him. But because he had an integrated band when he came back, they was like, nah, son, not on Front Street, you don't. Mm. You know what I mean? And that was it. So that's another old man story time.
Oh, okay.
Hey, that's taking a stance, though. Anybody taking a stance these days?
He did take a stance. And in this case...
Yeah, they're not doing that.
In this case, I don't know if it's about taking a stance more than it is egos.
Oh, this
it's,
is...
It's absolutely egos now. Absolutely egos. I mean... For whatever fame and respect the quality of music that Lil Wayne has put out. I have never been a fan. Never. Now, I can't name you one record I'd be like, yo, I rock with that. Never. I'm on record. And then when he signed, or I don't know, they signed Drake, I was like, it's just a continuation. He's just a younger, light-skinned dude who they're using.
Wow.
And your boy took that like, I'm the greatest.
Wow.
And now we're back to the tentacles.
Right, because he took the baton that your boy passed him and took that and became the man. Passed it to Drake, Drake said, I'm the man now, because Wayne was the man, and now he passed it to me.
Wait. It wasn't really a passing of a baton, or was it just a business arrangement here? See, that's what I'm saying. Everything.
Well, you're going behind the curtain. Welcome to my world, my nigga.
No, because everything that you see here that has been preached to us from young bulls of a certain generation, now, slowly, as the paperwork comes out, people certify. There's the check. There's the canceled checks from buying streams or whatever. So, yeah, he signed the guy. And, yeah, somebody brang him or whatever. But it seems like it's just a business arrangement. You know what I mean?
So Universal said, you can hold on to him. We'll let you make some checks off of him.
Let me tell you something. Because we want to take him back. Because people may be the greatest musicians, and athletes do this all the time or whatever. You know, Michael Jordan could never be a coach. You know, hell, he could barely GM.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? It's great as he was.
He wants to coach. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the same way, just like Hov. You know what I mean? Just like Hov running Def Jam or whatever. I mean, he did have Rihanna. He sold a lot of records with that. But barring that, that's it.
The greatest example is Michael Singletary.
Whatever after him.
I don't know if Bieber was his or not, but the point I'm saying is, like, I'm talking about like Rockefeller. You know, as much as we love Beans and all these other people who's on Rockefeller, but they didn't sell records. Okay? Nope. Now, your state property may have been great MCs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But they didn't sell records. So
nobody over there sold records except for him and then
Kanye, right. So that being said.
Well, what's the name did Busta for one album?
So, but that being said, I don't know if this was a passing of the baton. The whole history of this whole nigga and his whole hookup, he had hookups before he wanted to rap. And then when he decided to rap on SoundCloud, corporate entities were involved from Jump Street with this nigga.
So, something funny I was thinking about while we're here. I was like, God damn, I was thinking, because I've had nothing but time. I was thinking that a lot of rappers / MCs went into acting.
Right.
Queen Latifah, LL, on and on and on and on. Method Man, on and on and on and on. But this guy was an actor
first
who became a rapper.
Yeah.
And that shit is just, I mean, that says a lot, yo. It's like, you just, because I'm an actor, I could just jump in here and do this.
Word well, these is niggas are yes, jumping sir. From this son, to this, so I could jump from this to that.
Son, I'm going to do a Kurt G. I'm going to do a Kurt G and pat myself on the back.
Yeah, so you're going to go ahead and pat yourself on the back
I'm
right
doing,
now?
Yeah, I'm doing what Kurt G.
I've been saying this shit since day one. This nigga's an actor.
I said there's enough source material on this nigga to decide, and I want to rap and want to play a role. It's enough source material out there from the time he decided that to now. Okay? I don't care if he got hit records or not. You know what I'm saying? He's just an actor.
Anybody can have a hit record, B. William Hung is always going to be the name I throw out there.
No doubt.
Anybody
I get it.
Have a hit record.
I get it.
She bang.
Yeah, she bang. Hey,
but your boy had the it thing that the industry was like, yep. He's the guy.
Actually, Hung was right, yo. She do bang. She do bang.
Ooh, nigga, that shit sound like a fucking horrible porno and shit.
Yo, William, my goodness.
Hung. So, no doubt.
William Hung, she bang.
No doubt. So, all right, yo, we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna honor the people that we lost the past couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? First, I want to say rest in peace out to Safar. Is that how you pronounce it?
Safir.
Okay, I wasn't really sure the pronouncement. Shout to him. He's hailing from Oakland, California. We lost him. 1994, Boxcar Sessions, you know, he was one of the Bay Area's hip-hop scene guys. The thing about him that I appreciate is that I was having trouble with the Bay Area even back then. Because, you know, as much as I thought that Too Short was, you know, okay, yeah, and an E-40, but I didn't think they had spitters. I didn't think they had spitters till, you know, something like Boxcar Session comes along. Then I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Then, with Hyro?
You know, hold up, B. But then, I'm not saying Hyro was before that.
Hyro was around that same time. After Too Short.
Okay.
Too Short
no earlier. Doubt. Right. I'm talking about the initial volley of a Too Short, maybe E-40 style.
Okay.
Then you start having the Hyros, and I was going to mention them, the Hyros, the Safar, the whole thing. And then now you start getting spitters, casual, you know, that whole shit. You know what I mean? So you got that. He was a member of they never put out a record, and I was so disappointed that they didn't do it. It was the Golden State Warriors, Razzcaz, Exhibit, and Saphir. They never put the record out. You know what I'm saying? I saw way back in 2020 Exhibit talking about there's some stuff in the vault. You might hear it. This back in 2020. Maybe, you know, because of his death, we'll hear it. But yes, the Golden State Warriors, I'm like, yo, this is like one of the first super groups, but they never put anything out. You know what I mean? And I also had a war with myself because there was a guy from Oakland, a guy by the name of Capital Tax.
Oh, okay.
And he had an album called The Swole Package. Man, I love.
I just heard Dick say pause.
Right after you start talking about William Hung, now we got the swollen package.
So anyway, that's not swollen; it's swole.
Oh my goodness!
So anyway, I'm being 100. So Boxcar Sessions, and I'm like, yo, he okay? I ain't mad, but this kid Capital Tax is dumb nice, right? And so I kind of disregarded him a little bit, but that was how I was rocking it back in 93, 94. You know what I'm saying? Right. That the Capital Tax came out in 93. Boxcar Sessions came out in 94. But see, back then, that's close enough in time that you still banging records.
For a whole year.
Yeah, right. So anyway, anybody Oakland fans who knows what's up with Capital Tax, holla at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not disrespecting the dearly departed, no doubt. I'm just saying, back then, I remember talking to a couple of cats who were saying, nah, when it comes down to that Oakland scene, I get the Boxcar Sessions, that's what's up. But I'm a Capital Tax cat, and, you know, that's how I was getting down. You know what I mean?
Real to the end.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But rest in peace to him. Actually, I didn't know this. I saw this as doing the research. In 1992, he was a passenger on TWA Flight 843 and suffered serious back injuries, evacuating the plane on an aborted takeoff and hard landing, crash and fire. So he was in an airplane crash. I didn't know that.
Damn.
And then, yeah, and had health issues, I would assume, because of that. You know, which is really, really serious as far as that goes. No. But we say rest in peace to him, yo. You know what I'm saying? One of the Bay Area's finest, big loss, you know what I'm saying, as far as lyrical hip-hop and really representing to the fullest. You know what I mean?
Sir.
So, and next on that list, we want to say rest in peace to TJ Swan, hailing from the Bronx, New York.
So
shout out to D-Thor. Shout out to D-Thor who posted the video about there was actually three different TJ Swans. I only knew about two of them. I didn't know about the other TJ Swan.
Yeah, I wasn't up.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't up.
But I knew about the DJ TJ Swan and the Juice Crew TJ Swan. I didn't know about this other cat. But anyway, but we're here to honor the Bronx, the Juice Crew, Cold Chillin' TJ Swan, who passed away. Considered, I guess, by most people, the first hip-hop hook singer, if you will. Mm. Like Kurt G said, make the music with your mouth, biz. Nobody beats the biz. Left Me Lonely. You know, that's all TJ Swan.
That was him from MC Shan?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. I just now learned that shit. Yeah. I didn't know who that was singing that shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was TJ Swann on Left Me Lonely.
Now, you won't be able to unhear it.
Now I hear it. Right. He left me lonely, right.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, consider the first, you know, hip-hop.
Actually, sir, she.
She left me lonely. She left me lonely. Right. Left me lonely. She left me lonely, not left me lonely. She left me lonely.
In any case.
Right.
Shout out to TJ Swann. It's funny. They also were doing some research, and the name was popular because there was a fortified wine out from '70s called TJ Swann. And I watched two or three TJ Swann commercials, and everybody out there in the disco, TJ Swanned it up, and it's kind of funny. You know what I mean?
That's probably where they got the name from.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. So we want to say rest in peace to TJ Swann or whatever. Definitely you want to listen to Biz Markie and the Shan Hooks. That is TJ Swann featured most prominently. And we want to say rest in paradise to both of those gentlemen. Thank you for your hip hop contribution. It has been a blessing to all of us.
Yes. Salute.
Indeed. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I found this a very interesting small article, but very interesting. It was one day, I want to say a month ago, that they posted that on one day in last month, there was more released music on one day than the entire year of 1986.
Damn.
Yep.
But that's back when niggas used to... Labels used to try to build artists and try to,
but
try
no,
to,
but
try B, to put shit this, out in different blocks.
This goes beyond that. This is one day of the total released music.
Oh, you're talking about total release by niggas on Bandcamp and everywhere.
One day released music was more music released in one day than the entire calendar year of 1986.
I thought you was talking about label release shit. You just saying period.
I'm just talking about period.
Oh, yeah. Shit, it's more released fucking music in an hour. Shit, niggas be putting music out all the time.
I'm just saying, you know, and that's why it is so difficult to contend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why, like I said, we always say we miss a lot of music on this show at the end of the year when we do our end of year shits because there's so much music. So much music.
And the fact that in one day you're going to eclipse an entire calendar year. And look, Bandcamp, anybody can put out music at any time or whatever. But B, they could do that on the streaming services. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You get on your MacBook, you make the rap record, and then you release it.
Release it and put that bitch on.
Shout out to Chuck D.
Who did say that? Chuck, yes.
He called it way back.
Way
There'll
back.
There'll be a million record labels.
And there definitely is.
There's way more than a million, actually.
Way more than that. Now, how many of them is actually LLC'd and actually real businesses? Or just a name you made up and put that bitch out?
Indeed. So, I want to also give a shout-out to the artists in the text chain. I don't have a roll call, but I am going to put together a roll call of the folks who release music on the text chain. Great music, you know what I'm saying? You know, shout-out to my man Artemis, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I see him out there working. You know,
no doubt,
releasing music. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, Grace.
My brother Cookbook.
Yo, Grace Call. I was going to say Grace Call, Cookbook.
Yeah, Grace, you know what I'm saying? Call,
yeah, we need to get a roll call so we can honor everybody in the text chain who's, you know, releasing music, you know, or who has released music this past calendar year or whatever. And we want to, you know what I'm saying? No doubt.
That's our brother from Canada.
Of course, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? The true Canadian.
There you go. The true Canadian. Shout out to S.
No doubt. So, you know.
Boom, bap.
Yeah, no
true
doubt.
True Canadians.
I would like to get a roll call together, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. If you're an artist and you on the text chain and you released it, just say, yo, I put out, boom, boom, and I'm going to add you to the roll call. Because I think that would be something.
Kevin, I thought you was going to say, if you want to be an artist.
and don't want niggas all up in the video. Talking. Dancing. Well, you got Hotline Bling Bling in the background.
Mm, oh, my God. That's absolutely
Kevin,
terrible.
Since the day it's you.
Absolutely terrible.
You.
Oh, my God. Kiki, do you love me?
Kiki don't love him no more.
But Curtis, I know these words because they were bombarded. Look, I think I told my son that there was one record that I ever listened to. It was a Jhené Aiko record, or however you say her name.
Oh, Jhené Aiko.
It was her. Yeah, it was her, and Drake was on there. And that was the only record that I've been able to stomach. And I don't know where I'm going. I'm losing it. But yeah, I just don't. His music is just over the span of time that he was ruling. What can you say as far like besides? No, not besides. What can you say is a bona fide hip hop hit, Drake?
He's probably had hip hop classics in the sense of today's way of judging hip hop classics. As far as we would judge hip hop classics, he has none. The way we would judge him, he don't have any because we would never thought he was really hip hop.
So let me answer this question. So I think that along with having to grapple with the phoniness of the fact that, damn, you know, I was really liking this shit because I was force fed it. You're never going to nobody. And this is where ultimately I think they're going to continue to dismiss older generations, because no one, when you're 14, 15, 18, you know, or 22, your first time, you know what I'm saying, being lit, as the young people say, in the club and that hotline bling on, those are things that you're never going to replace in your life. And so the music soundtrack that goes with it just kind of goes with it. Now, how that became is a situation is like wanting to know how many rodent droppings in the sausage. Nobody wants to see that. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's the reality. Yeah, that is, you know, the reality, and it doesn't matter. And we all have those particular stories. Walking into Fort Meade and hearing the Diaz brothers is always going to be walking into Fort Meade and hearing the Diaz brothers. Sir. You nobody
we
looked
at
knows
each other like, what the fuck.
Shout out to the NSA.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Fort Meade. Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? So, exactly. Yep. For all the friendly folk over in Greenbelt who listening.
Back in Odenton, Maryland.
Yeah, no doubt. I was in Odenton the other day, as a matter of fact. I thought about you.
Oh, damn. Yes, sir. That was the spot.
No doubt. So, yeah. So, you're not going to replace that for any young person.
Right. And you know what? I think that, to me, I just had this thought come to my mind. We're talking about the tentacles of this whole shit. I think that's part of the problem is that niggas is now grappling with the fact that their entire music loving life, I have to say, from like you said, 14, 15 to 25, 30 to whatever 10 year, 12 year, 15 year period, this has been your man. He had the soundtrack to your entire life. You love this nigga. And now to see him in a different light is fucking with you. Cause you don't know how to digest that shit, pun intended. You don't know how to digest it and say, you know what? Damn.
Because
he was my man. He made so much music that I loved and I grew up with. And I made babies to some of this nigga's music. And now I gotta look at him like, is he really a pedophile? Is this shit really true? You know what I'm saying? I gotta look at him in a different light and it's fucking with me.
Well, that's because you gotta choose. You gotta choose, do you take the man or do you support the industry that made the man? See, because the industry's gonna make a new guy. The industry's gonna make a new guy. Whether that's Kendrick or somebody else, it doesn't matter. The industry is gonna make a new guy. And there's a lot of kids who are like, you know what? I guess I'm going to have to ride with the industry. I'm going to have to ride with Universal Music Group. I'm going to have to ride with YouTube.
But they don't know nothing else.
Because, right.
They don't know nothing else
because there hasn't been anything else for the last 20 years. They've been spoon-fed for the last 20 years. And slowly, they've been spoon-feeding them. Like we said, nobody wants to know how the sausage is made. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to know how the hot dog, what got in them hot dogs. And like DMX said, you feed a nigga shit long enough, he'll learn to like it. And they've been spoon-fed this shit for a long time. So they like it. So trying to tell them that the shit that they've been eating from Drake for all these years is nasty? I'm not supposed to like that no more?
Well, we've said this plenty of times. we listened to our dad's music.
Right.
It was good music, but we made our own. But we didn't shit on dad's music. These kids today, they don't want to hear no shit that we talking about. And that is a big, big, big disconnect. Because, yeah, we don't have the power that UMG, speaking of them, we don't have the power of any of that kind of shit to tell people and advertise all over the fucking world of what's supposed to be the good shit. And that's a very, very, very unfortunate fact, because there is a lot of great music being played. But if your brain is only hearing the same six records all day, you're going to miss out.
Or records that and sound like the same six records.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're not going to want to hear what nobody else is telling you, because you've been ingrained this shit. Movies, commercials, TV, malls, because them shits is damn near dead. But everywhere you go, restaurants, everywhere, you go in the store, the shop, and you hear this shit over. And I'm saying the word shit. Give me. You're hearing this music over and over and over and over. You have very little choice to say, well, let me hear this, that, or the other, because you're indoctrinated into this.
So
I don't see it changing.
Okay. But it's too late to change. You can't put the genie back in the bottle now.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, to me, it just comes down to most people are going to make a value decision. Either they're going to ride with the man, or they're going to ride with the corporation. I don't think that they can
escape. For so long, they rode with the man.
What
happened is they didn't know the man and the corporation was the same thing. Drake and UMG was the same exact thing.
So let's say
they thought they had was making a choice, but they really weren't.
So let's say they make a new guy or gal or whoever, and then whatever.
It's Kendrick.
Okay, all right. For the moment,
right now,
yeah. For the moment, it's Kendrick, and I'm not saying that he might not be the guy for the next 10 years. I'm not making that claim or disclaim, but what I'm saying is that I believe that most people are just going to ride with the corporation because everything is set up for them. There is no really right. One point really quickly I want to make about when I say we walked into Fort Meade and it's a record called the Diaz Brothers. This is not a major label record. This is a underground piece of 12-inch vinyl that had sort of a Rob bass and a James Brown loop, record. Yeah, think Lynn Collins. This is just basically a disc edit record. It wasn't no big deal or whatever, but it just had a particular vibe that caught us at the particular times. Not even a particularly famous break record. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they don't have that type of experience. So, you know, that's just what it is.
It's not that they don't have, like we said earlier, they don't really have a choice because you're born with this phone in your hand.
Exactly.
Your parents put a phone in your hand at fucking 4 years old or tablet, have you in the back seat looking at this shit, and you're being indoctrinated, like you said earlier, from then. From that point on, all you know is this digital world.
So, all right, so before we get out, I want to do a last topic. That we're going to rock today. And this topic is shout out to a couple of people. And it is, again, shout out to you, Swerve. People were discussing a possible, and like I said, Chicken Shit Magazine, shout out to everybody who thought that was a funny thing or whatever that we do. That I think it was Bagari. Or who was it? Was it Bagari? No, I don't think it was Bagari. I think it was Tobias who is saying that he thought that Luther Campbell should be the next person on Chicken Shit Magazine or whatever.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
I don't know about that or whatever, but, you know, I'm just saying it wasn't a weekly magazine type of thing. You know what I mean? You really had to come hard body.
Some niggas is saying put Joe Biden on that bitch. That nigga just pardoned his son.
Okay.
And try to give another $1 billion away. Come on, B.
I was like, you know what? But I was riding with Joe on that one. I was like, you know what? I ain't mad at him. Because if it was my son and I got the power to give him the fuck out, nigga, I'm getting him out. And then y'all can put him back if you want to. But
so,
as long as I can get him out, get him back.
That's good. But all that other talk of I'm not going to intervene. Should have left that off the record, B.
So, again, in the case in point, I'm going to have to say I agree with Kurt G because on day one, what he did with Hunter is going to be such an ant poop once Trump releases all the January 6 people. Ooh, you won't even really hear about that. So,
we're about to go political. You talk about what ifs. Fuck that. We talk about what is, my G.
Okay.
We talk about what is.
All right. Well,
what is?
I tell you what. I'm pretty confident on that. You know, I like to put a nice wager. I'm so confident that Trump is going to let every last one of them niggas go.
They're all criminals. All of them.
I'm not arguing that point.
Just accept that your boy is a criminal. We'll be done with it.
B, I don't. B, first of all.
You will not go to jail for nothing for the last 10 years. Get the fuck out of here, B.
Your boy, it's funny. It's funny. It's interesting. Biden, really, that was the biggest fuck you that he could do to absolutely everybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that was.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That was a fuck you move, right?
That's okay.
Fuck you, Trump.
That's okay.
Fuck you, Trump.
Fuck you, Trump. Fuck you, the Democrat Party. He said, man, I'm out.
I'm fucking
y'all
fuck
forced
everybody.
Me out.
Y'all
fuck
told me
y'all.
I could have did better than Kamala. I could have got more numbers than Kamala did. Y'all motherfuckers. I could have did better than that.
Y'all can kill her. At the fucking Capitol building on January 6th with the rest of the Democrats complaining and crying. That's, you kidding me right now, B? That's crazy.
B, let me do
this. See, this is why you got to step outside the party.
B.
Step outside of parties.
Hold on. Let me answer this for you. Okay. What Joe Biden did didn't piss me off.
Of course
just
it did.
The same way that whatever Trump does won't piss you off. So take
no,
it like
that's
that.
That's not true. You're not doing that. You're not doing that still to this day. You're not doing that. I think it will be fucked up if Donald Trump lets off them some January 6th motherfuckers to shit it in the fucking Capitol building, B, and rub that shit. That shit's insane. I don't know who you think I am if you think I'm okay with that shit. That's insane. It's worse than Biden letting his son off because I would expect that. But what I don't expect is for the man to say, I'm gonna just do what it does, and then at the 11th hour, he ain't going to jail. Not just for that, anything that may come up from 10 years.
B, okay, I got you. And you know I ain't got no sides in this shit. I got no fucking horse in this race. I don't give a fuck about none of these niggas. But you gotta understand this. If it was your son, fuck what you said for the cameras, talking about, I'm not going to intervene. I'm just going to let justice do its thing. Knowing in the back of your mind, as soon as I get out this bitch, I'm letting him the fuck out. I don't care.
I wouldn't have said shit. I'd have just let that nigga out
before
I got out of
office. But he had to say something. They want people putting the camera in his face. You got to say something. This nigga getting a camera in his face every 5 seconds of every day, you gotta respond some kind of way, B. You can't be saying, well, I'm going to get him out anyway. You got to say something.
I agree with you. Let's say I agree with you on that point, but we talking about we putting coverage for 10 years of shit.
He's trying to keep him out of jail. He's trying to keep his ass out of jail no matter what. He know his son is a fuck up, B. He knows it.
Okay.
He's trying to cover for him.
Then I'm good. I'm good.
He knows
because
it.
Because I am not going to sit here and be like, yeah, whatever Donald Trump was. Fuck Donald Trump, B. I'm not with that. I mean, we don't need to say that. We don't need to keep going over that. But I'm not going to let you say the same way you'll be all right. No, I will not be all right if Donald Trump. I was not all right when he tried to put that fucking dude in. What was that, Gates? I was like, look at this motherfucker. B, I'm not giving no passes, none, to none of them sides. So let's just be clear on that. I'm glad that I'm talking to you and not Bogart Black. Because I would have to just log off and let y'all do that. Because he is over there with that shit.
Okay.
I'm not.
Look, so for me, I always, history, that's why I love history. That's why it's my favorite subject. And unfortunately, the Bringing Up Chicken Shit magazine put us down this road, but I'm going to try and get back. I'm going to try and get off the road.
But most of the listeners done checked out anyway. Like, all these niggas going down that road.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get off the road.
I guess what I'm looking at here is history here. And there's a lot of history, but I'm doing recent history that everybody sort of knows or whatever. You know, Nixon got off. They caught Nixon red-handed, but guess what?
Yeah.
They was like, fuck it. You know, he's got off. Then you bring, you know, Clinton with Mark Rich, just straight pure criminal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is, you know, whatever he do, what he do, he got off. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. And I don't give a fuck. It's funny. It's funny. A lot of niggas who, whether if it's Teddy Riley or all these other niggas who got relatives out from under Trump, and now they big Trump people, you know. Look, this type of thing happens.
Your boy got out.
Who that?
Kodiak.
Oh, yeah, Kodiak. I don't know who it is. Yeah.
He turned into a Trump
right,
guy.
All them guys, they now Trump guys or whatever. I never forget when I heard Teddy Riley say, yeah, Trump guy or whatever. But all that being said, you know, the fact that he promised that he wasn't going to do it and then did it after it was Pelosi or anybody else who was running the Democratic Party basically threw that nigga over, but get the fuck out, nigga.
Yeah,
at
did.
That point, Biden, he probably just said, you know what? On my day, I'm getting my son. Fuck all y'all niggas. I'm out.
Right. Y'all motherfuckers don't want me to be president again?
Right.
Fuck y'all.
So now where I would like to get out of that is to identify the apex at which we probably disagree. You are saying, and probably I respect your opinion if you believe that I'm a type of cat because I'm a Democratic shill, I'm letting Biden go. I'm not outraged about that. You know what I'm saying?
You said it yourself.
Yeah, but I put that in the pantheon of history, and Biden is no better or worse than any of these other guys. It's a whole list of motherfuckers that Obama let out that Democrat niggas, Republican niggas can't stand. So that puts Biden in the pantheon of history, no better, no worse.
Thank you. So that's what I'm saying.
And then so upcoming, you know, for you to say, you know, like I'm predicting the final score of the Super Bowl with Trump, I don't believe that you gonna be that naive and try to do that to me. You know he gonna let these niggas go because he been promising that since 2020.
He been on the campaign trail talking about I'm gonna let them all out. He said some dumb shit.
But
like
here's
that.
The difference. Here's the difference. Here is the crux of the fucking matter. I will not be okay with that. You said you okay with what old boy did. As far as history or whatever, I'm not okay with none of that shit.
So let's do this. His son, Nixon, Mark Rich, I don't know who are the hard body niggas that Republicans couldn't stand that Obama let out. I'm thinking if we did the reasonable research all the way back to at least Reconstruction, there's been some very bad presidents. And whenever that shit and some very bad people acting, you know what I'm saying? I mean, fuck, even Jefferson Davis only spent 2 years in the bank.
Oh, come on, man.
You know what
come
I mean?
On.
So
right.
So
right.
So the point is that what we will see from Donald is not maybe 20 niggas, if that. We're going to see 1,000 plus all the cases that are pending. They're going to be like, it is all dropped, no prosecution, nothing. Mm. So, B, is always
that's
a difference.
Terrible, as you
right.
said, indeed, that's
right.
terrible.
There's always a difference. You know, there's always a difference of degrees. So,
for sure.
It's a difference. It's all the same degrees. It's just differences in severity of what the fuck they doing. Because it's all the same crime.
Because
to me, a nigga committed a crime and he's supposed to be locked the fuck up and he just gonna let him the fuck out? Then that's a crime, nigga.
Yo,
and cover him for 10 years of life.
That's a crime, my nigga. Even though, like I said, if it was my son, I'd have done the same shit.
So, okay,
like,
listen, okay.
I know I'm
so
doing some
first
shit
of all,
I'm gonna take that hit.
So, first of all,
here's my son.
So, first of all, let's get out really quickly. I personally, I thought Drake should be on any next cover of Chicken Shit before anybody else.
Damn, Chicken Shit. That's what he gets.
But that's just me. Yeah, but that's just me. Yeah.
No. I agree.
Okay,
but that's not what
he called it, the pot. Calling the kettle black. That's what he's doing.
I thought Drake
changed history.
Right. Especially, see, and that, right. And so that's just what I was thinking. I'm thinking Drake more than anybody else. But it's not, this is not a weekly magazine, so everybody calm down. You know what I mean?
This is maybe a quarterly magazine.
Maybe it's
you might get one every 3 months.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. It's not a weekly magazine.
Right, because there's niggas doing shit all the time that could be chicken shit worthy.
All the time.
No doubt. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
we'll forget in a few months, we'll forget about that dude.
Yo, man, Biden's gonna be we ain't even thinking about that nigga after as soon as this nigga puts his hand up and gets sworn in. Biden's going to be a memory.
It's a wrap.
Right.
Because we're always going to be talking about the shit that this nigga's about to do.
Right.
He is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
this nigga's on revenge tour right now, Pete.
He's going to do some crazy shit.
As soon as he gets sworn in, he's on revenge tour. Like, oh, so y'all bitch, I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
Oh, exactly.
It's going to be
everybody in Pelican Bay, my nigga, is getting a fuck all you bitches. Y'all motherfuckers talk shit about me. Now I'm back, nigga. Oh, I'm getting you. I'm getting you. Matter of fact, I'm appointing this nigga just to piss you off. I'm appointing this nigga. He can fire your ass. He's gonna start putting motherfuckers up in there.
So for the people who still hanging with us, shout to you. I wouldn't be surprised if 90% people done clicked off by now.
This is the shit that happens down there after every show. Y'all get a taste of what happens after we stop the show.
I know, right?
And we have a whole nother hour conversation after the show.
Yeah, we do.
We like, right, I just said this on the show. Damn, I missed all, that. I just said that.
And all I wanted to do was just float the possibility of Aubrey being the next chicken shit poster boy.
No argument here, B. No argument. We're talking hip hop right now.
Right, since we're talking hip hop, Aubrey gets the spot.
Yeah.
All
right, he went out like the wackest of the whack. I don't care. What did that little leprechaun do? Would have tried to sue T.I. I mean, just fucking audacity. And again, I'm sorry for the people, the technical heads out there. He's not suing Kendrick. I don't care. He's pulling a fucking lawsuit after the diss. He didn't get a lawsuit to say I'm not a pedophile. He didn't get a lawsuit to say I don't like little girls or whatever. He get a lawsuit. Or putting together a lawsuit over some shit that he benefited from. His ass definitely belongs to the
nigga. You are a multi-gazillionaire because of these same tactics, my nigga.
Oh my god, over a contract, my nigga? Come on, yo.
All right, so let's get out, yo. So certainly, Drake, you know, sitting on gold toilets ain't enough. So, you know, that's what's up.
Yeah, he must have had some bad sushi or something. That nigga is wildin', B.
So, all right, shout out to...
Wait. Before we go, yes or no, will he ever be able to recover from this?
Yes. If Universal stops punishing him and stop being petty towards him, and he decides to drop everything and leave it alone like he should have. Because he could have started recovering now if he just shut the fuck up and just let the shit run its course. After Super Bowl is over with, 6 months later, Drake could have came out and started bubbling a little bit. By next Christmas, he could have had an album out that was jumping in the top 10.
So I'm going to say no, because everything that was so sterile in his world has now been contaminated. That nigga got botulism, my G. And so that nigga got botulism. So will he put out a record and maybe have a future hit record? Possibly. But you know what? He will never, ever, ever completely recover from botulism.
Personally, no. He would never personally. No. Musically, I think he can. If Universal gets back behind him again. But personally, no, he'll never recover because he's sensitive. And he's taking this shit completely personal. Instead of just letting it ride out like Jay-Z did, let the shit ride out, let Ether do its thing, let the people just move on to the next thing and the next thing, and then come back out with an album and just keep on bubbling because Jay-Z got bigger after Ether. He didn't fall off after Ether. He got bigger.
But it doesn't matter, but he still had that botulism recovery pill called Ether. And this is the same thing. And the thing is that Not Like Us is probably a bazillion times bigger.
It is. Not Like Us is way bigger because it's on a whole big, different scale.
Yeah.
Ether would have been on that scale if Jay-Z and all this fucking social media shit was big back then. Because niggas would have been all over it. and making it niggas right. in fucking Budapest would have been saying this shit is the hottest shit. The B, same
gotta,
time we'd have been talking about is the hottest
B,
shit.
B, we got to get out. B, we're way over.
Yeah,
we are, I mean, we got to get out.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's anyway, I want to give a shout out to the Digital Freaks, Pete. And Matt, I don't think we have an album from Pete this week, but shout to Matt.
That's my fault on that, too.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
So we want to definitely get out on the Digital Freaks albums of the week. Again, it's coming up. At the end of the year is coming up. We're going to have the top tens. You know, keep a lookout for
it's
that.
Coming.
It's coming. So go ahead, G. That's good. Digital Freaks albums of the week.
All right. Digital Freaks this week, and I'll go ahead, and he already started it. It's my fault. My bad, Pete. I sent him a late notice on we're doing a show this week. So if he sends me the show before I mix it, sends me his album, I'll go ahead and put it on here. But for right now, we have nothing from him. From Matt, we got Blood, Azul, and Good Food, Cordon Bleu. And we got Blood, Azul, and Good Food, Cordon Bleu. And from me, you got Fillmore Green, The Grand Design. That's Fillmore Green, The Grand Design.
All right. That's what's up. So, again, we were super long. We hadn't been in a couple of weeks or whatever. Like Kerji said, you just heard after party shit.
Yeah, this is the type of shit we talked about after
sure
the show.
Sure did.
The after party is
no
shit.
No doubt.
I just like to give a shout out to Quentin Miller.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Ow.
The first nigga to lift the skirt up.
Ooh, man, ain't that the truth? All right, y'all. So we see you when we see you, because you know.
Yeah, that holds true these days. See you when we see you.
Exactly,
damn.
No doubt. So
yes, sir.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
All right, peace. Good night. Thank you for riding.
One.
Holla.
Me until I'm done. Yeah, kingdom come. Artist, but a fan first. Nah, man first. Nah, child of God. I'm for the fam first. I do the damn work, never stop the grind. Ruthless as a whip with the top recline. I'm not divine, but they got a shrine to my hottest lines. Head slaughter animals, burn candles, and watch for signs. I'm honored, but it's awkward, but I do get it. Huge headed, just for kicks, like a shoe fetish. Boasty as Idris, a British actor. Big disaster form if these tracks were mixed and mastered. Forgive the fits of laughter when I see their list of rappers missing Shad. They got it twisted as a gymnast flipping backwards. Non-stop with the bomb drop onslaught. Stopping me's a John Stockton 3. Long shot. This song's hot, and it's not even a song. Stop. That's why it's getting more shares than Elon. Stop. Yeah, I'm on top. Until I'm done. Kingdom come. The guy is odd. I dialogue with a quiet God and find these endless sentences inside the silent pause. Gotta break some rules to keep the highest laws. You wanna live, gotta face the violent riot squads. I think the magic of being is in the art of it. Seeing all the paradoxes at the heart of it. Like how the end we fear is also the start of it. And how we're most whole when we're just a part of it. Look, I know I'm often cryptic, let me talk specific. Hip-hop is shamanistic, it's a prophet's witness. Some thoughts are optimistic and some apocalyptic. No contradiction, I'm both a clown and a conscious mystic. If you feel me, then we're really on the same wave. The same page, the game changes, I ain't phased. Now they're rapping over vocals on the main stage. I don't complain, but you can't give me no fame praise. Mind is Jedi, rhymes fly as red eyes. I spread vibes from the west side to Bed-Stuy. Keeping heads high, the sounds clear the heaviness. When the spirit's ready to shed the fear and pettiness, I'm here. Right here. Until I'm done. Yeah, kingdom come. I still feel young, though I'm more Neil Young. Not a film director, but I'm where they get the real from. The tongue's a steel drum or a concealed gun. It's got the power to either kill or heal them. We all choose with the music. I'm about celestial tones and the traditions of poems from our ancestral homes. We're just reflecting the glory till we can rest our bones. Retelling stories until our story is etched in stone. When I get in the zone, it's like leaving Steph alone. I don't miss. When they need the dope, I'm methadone. When I exit, let the legend be the lessons shown and the message left, like when your friend couldn't get the phone. I grew up in London, Ontario, East Africans and Eastside Marios. Listen to scenario, flying like Braun, blocking shots to win the Larry O'Brien in your stereo, cherry coat, black and he's so sweet, but don't sleep, low key got the most heat, like front row seats to the nosebleeds, I leveled up, and a nobe to OG. Yeah, until I'm done, kingdom come.
Wish I was as sure.
You've covered every angle. Nothing can go wrong.
Everything can go wrong. Just the cops waiting for you to make a mistake.
Prodded down, I'm looking prestigious. Vanessa used to hit the register with press pieces. I put the powder in a pot, I never went collegiate. Keep the pistol on me, they envious when you eatin'. Our niggas will never be even. You'll forever lose your destitute. A bum can never be king. Now my name buzzing, bitches on my dick like I'm the weekend. I rap for crooks, wise niggas with greasy looks. Bad hoes thumbing through dough, gunning they pocketbook. Sunshine and you'll fuck up your eyes, trying to watch and look the Lord. You a poor on the board, get shot by a rook. I slide off at your queen, king, you with easy jooks. A wild team, mom said, chill and read a book. Or the judge will throw you one. Been a smoking gun, always had the glow, the blind know I'm the chosen one. Take this shit in vain, it's the opium. A lot of niggas in the game, I bulldozed over them. Making my way in this shit. Long way from when I was weighing this shit. Heavy trafficking was always on my way to a lick. Plots to make the paper get thick from taking calculated risk. Making my way in this shit. Long way from when I was weighing this shit. Heavy trafficking was always on my way to a lick. Plots to make the paper get thick from taking calculated risk. It was mug shots, now my face on a portrait. It's the Lord and $1,000 Air Forces. Purple label shit, no horses. Still close to coke sources. The pretty hoes chose when they saw this. But that's the norm when the shit you want enormous. The rare form is trapping till dawn, getting my portions. Couple of my niggas gone, we couldn't push portions. On the highway, worth the chalk, I did it my way. I'm up, can't hear nothing at them bums on the side. Save for pennies, they shut them job, bite and try to ride wave. But them niggas dusty, they don't do shit in a fly way. I'm inspirational, sensational. Was on a cash chase doing crimes for cake, then I made it through. Fuck who the best in the squad, really, I spray the crew. You know the drill, the list of names is a plate of food. I play the game like I made the rules. Shake you out your shoes, hang my shit in the Louvre. All praise is due.
No beach polo with a cookie bear, sweater with a booster's roost. I played hooky there, chicken heads flock. Louis down, I'm flyer than Reg Knock. Inspire fans to watch. I used to profile the old 47 block. Now I make investment in stock. Diversified my portfolio. Shows from Oslo to Tokyo, where gang signs thrown down like a hand with polio flow. Like Brother Mike meets Brother Malcolm. I'm El Hai Shabazz. Keep toast like Mazel Tov. Y'all be sweet as Haagen-Dazs. You only see me like eyes behind hijab and street cars that the freaks desire. Shaka Khan through the fire with the Zulus and Osas. Live behind barbed wire. My bars inspire. Prison revolt. Star Island, they shipped us on a boat. My mind float higher than Mariah with the note. With the twilight, my tone sound type Coltrane and John like. Every single sound bites a love supreme. Most hate the player, but they love the game.
I'm playing music for my well-being, so I can be here standing tall, sit all broken down, worried about where the money coming from and this and that. If I can lift my spirit and stand tall, I can give you some. And that's what the purpose is. Enlightenment. Yeah.
Trell Willis, goddamn Millis, 89 the Ramil and Terry Mills is 85 INC, you jabronis. I'm the pale horse and you my little ponies. No more cocktails, just edibles, reading hot tales. It's a Pornhub Barksdale. Can't have a starting five without me. Mighty my run the point like Doc Fauci. Sparky Anderson level a handsomest. The Eon Mega brushes, shoulders a dandruff off. Junior toddler, Tossy, Verse Tchaikovsky. It's Starbuck Junior, my offspring. Crispy Michigan dunks never fell apart. Neither did the records that I bought up in Funkamar. Mr. E still speak the obscene. Beating me is like Pete Rock taking a vaccine.
My format is all that. My concept's refined. My format is all that. My concept's refined. My format is all that. My concept's refined.
You know the original Hampton crib owner, beach moper. Still that Brooklyn rudeness, broad shoulder. Not too many who heard of that. Oh, Cyrano de Bergerac. You know my music, Frankie Bev with Maze. Let's seize the moment and cherish the wave. Maybe watch a little movie, Lilies of the Field with Portier. A forehead kiss and call it a day. You can be Venus and I'm from Mars. Whatever the quote, we mingle with stars. Let me in, open the store. Baby, don't close the door. 24s, the roof is missing. Run, catch, kissing, old school listening. Block parties, women and music. Vintage boombox, you know the acoustics.
My format is up, all that. My concept's refined. Concept's refined. Concepts refined.
I'm in the East Village and cream and gem spa. Buying little dimes in my Jordan dead stock. Bought from a roster, natty dreadlock. Now I put my son in a figure four leg lock. Fortress Maximus in the 89 Maxima. Maxing like Galactus type laughing. Hold down the spot like Fox Police Locks. Ma saying who got more pot than he's got. No one live like a 95 session. I'm the human form of liquid live resin. This verse sponsored by Clonidine and Effexor and MT. I saw next door.
Mother, sister on the stoop, she always watches. I play the mayor, look here, doctors. Miller High Life is not really my type. I don't drink brewski. That 7-1 hoopie is all I need. Sitting on Sutherland's, man, catch my speed. You know how the rims be. 24s, the roof is missing. Run, catch, kissing, old school listening. Block parties, women and music. Vintage boombox, you know the acoustics. Old school jams like Have You Seen Her? Foster Silver, Misdemeanor.
My format is up, my format is all that. My concept's refined. My format is up, all that. My concept's refined.
Of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
When gun sprays at nighttime, cause it's the right time for wrong. Index fingers touch rewind as my aura propels your mind. Fake leaving behind fake visions. You're blind cause it's hard to find. Lyrics flood the black market more than rock could steal. My stock's hot cause it's realer than real. When cats peel, pay rent for cement. Mother's heart's getting bent cause nights is trife. It's just chilling like a villain. Executing is killing, but there's no blood spilling. And it's just as illing. Prepare for head filling when you enter my jurisdiction of non-fiction. And lead filling if you step into mad niggas bitching. Cause the yang is regretful when you're lead full. bleeding buckets of red from your head over ducats. Fuck it, I'm living for next year, my dear. I'll say cheers and guzzle 11 beers to celebrate the years of my life. I got more days than 4 days, so some are po days. Optimistic I'll stay. For me, my grandmother will pray and text spray my way. Losing sleep over victims of the creep. The well runs dry as niggas wish to die. He said goodbye watching his honey cry from the other side of Riker's glass eye. Escorts no fraud, eloquent speech will teach. Still my hate runs deep, nigga. Word up, yo, my hate runs
no
deep,
lie,
nigga. Yo, hate runs deep in the hearts of men.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
When gun sprays at nighttime, cause it's the right time for wrong.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the hearts of many, man.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate
word
can
up.
Judge your fate.
Cause niggas cutting their lifelines for crime, but we still moving
no
on.
Lie.
Hey yo, my hate runs deep like still waters. The thought of all frustrations bring forth innovations. I flip my rhetoric and direct it with some egotistical, mystical type of shit to make the head split. I ring complex sexual intercourse to microphones, hitting my slang with the anger from my childhood. Running around with dirt stains and dirty hands, people flirty dame shit never stay the same. I used to write cause it was appropriate, but now I feel like I gotta write for industries and associates. Some years back I found a pillow to scream into. I was fiending through crates of legendary grace and seeing through the whack individuals who left residuals of bullshit lying around, fucking with niggas like me. Cause now they're trying to be down with my session. Corrupt like projects in a recession. Consider it a blessing when Marvel hit the stage. Go home and write a page, cause it's my daily routine. Vibrations are caught and then I see the unseen. When I creep, you know my shit is deep. Word up.
Yo, hate runs deep in the hearts of many.
Hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
With gun sprays at nighttime, cause it's the right time for all.
Hate runs deep in the hearts of many.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
Niggas cutting their lifelines for crime, but we still moving on.
Niggas getting stuck in the alleyways of unlucky schemes for bucks, stuck in dead end shortcuts. But I chose to fight those urges that were foul and write pros in spite of foes lurking the prowl. So I live to see my child smile. To increase my chance, fertilize my side of the family branch. As my flows enhance the relationship of romance, women get stuck in a trance. Brothers dig my style as I intoxicate the minds with concise rhyme and give them the whole nine. My shit's natural, a prime, generating inspirational thoughts. Bitches still get caught in the crossfire. I duck so the streets don't talk. No concern for a rapper as an average nigga got this. Pull the trigger and miss. Now a casualty lies on the streets leaking. Attitudes peaking. The levels settle when I'm speaking. Mama's hands was reaching, clothing was black on the backs of many. The day they buried the child who died for the worth of a penny. This topic strikes me. MC Socrates says shit unlikely. Deceased black, please come back. Fitting stereotypes exact. Chemicals react when I rap. As a youth, I never thought life could be so tough. Giving half a deck, you never realize that you're bluff. Earning half a check. The moonshine trade is a drug deal parade. Receiving another wage, getting paid to get yourself a fade. Don't let cash burn fast no more. According to the world, you're poor. Hate runs deep in the hearts of men.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
When gun sprays at nighttime, cause it's the right time for all.
Hate runs deep in the hearts of many kids.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
Niggas cutting their lifelines for crime, but we still moving on.
No lie, yo, hate runs deep in the hearts of many.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate.
When gun sprays at nighttime, cause it's the right time for all.
Hate runs deep in the hearts of men, son.
Oh yeah, hate runs deep in the guts of all, cause your hate can judge your fate. Niggas cut in their